Well, if you would take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last week we started on a teaching series on how to read and understand the Bible. And we're doing this in order to gain a better understanding of God's Word. How to read it, how to understand it, how to benefit from it. And the aim is so that we can read it and read it accurately, and to get to know the God that's in God's Word. To get to know who He is, what He's done, what He will do, what He won't do. I think He won't beat you over the head with a baseball bat. So that we can gain a greater relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now that's quite a benefit, to be able to get a greater understanding of God, a greater relationship, simply by learning what His Word says and applying it. And last week to start, we went over what is the Bible? Literally, what is it? And we started in this scripture, which I'd just like to read again. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it very plainly states, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The scriptures were inspired of God, given by inspiration of God. It is literally God's Word. And that's what we went through last week, that the Bible literally is the Word of God. It's authored by God Almighty. It's not a book. It's not a book of religious compilation from rabbis and priests and ministers that, you know, what they know about God and kind of wrote some things down, and somebody else took those and piled them up and said, "Oh, look at all these writings about God." It's not that. It's not a history book, although it does have history in it. It's not a book written by, you know, and authored by man. Man isn't the writer or the author, the originator of the Bible. It's God Almighty. It's not a philosophical assessment of life. Just not. Not those things. Rather, it's a compilation of writings that God authored, which is really cool. So we're going to look into these things of how to actually read it with an understanding. So to begin with, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. The next section or subject that I'd like to get into on this subject of how to read and understand the Bible is, how did the Bible come about? How did the Bible come about? Did it just drop out of the sky one day? Somebody's walking along and it hit him over the head? And he said, "Oh, the Bible." Or did it just appear on everybody's desk or in their bookshelf or on the bookshelf or appear in libraries one day? How did the Bible actually come about? And that's what I'd like to look at. What's its origin? Now, normally books come about by man thinking, hopefully, and then writing. He thinks, then he writes. And that's how we understand books. Here's a book on negotiating techniques. How to get your wife to do what you want. No. It's very worn through here. Negotiating techniques. How to work toward a constructive agreement. Now, somebody thought about these things and then wrote them down. Some person. Here's one on fatherhood by Bill Cosby. His take on fatherhood. It has a humorous take, of course, being he's a comedian. But a man wrote it. Here's one on Abraham Lincoln. The only thing we know about Abraham Lincoln, because he lived and died long before we were ever born, is what other people have written about him. Somebody's thought about it, wrote it down. And then other people sometimes read about it. But this book was written by Carl Sandburg. Yep. And that's what it's about. Here's a wonderful one. This actually is Daniel's when he was a little kid. The Smithsonian Institute institution, animals, about animals. And this is quite a great book, super heavy too. All these different pictures and information about all kinds of animals. Somebody thought about it, compiled all of this information, put it together, and made a book out of it. And we are very aware of this. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of books out there. Now, a lot of people will look at the Bible in the same manner, that some person thought about God, wrote some things down, and then compiled it together and put it together as the Bible. But that's not what happened. In Matthew, you're in chapter 1, right? Uh-huh. Many people look at the Bible that way, and here's an example. Above, at the very top, it says the gospel according to who?
Matthew.
That's what it says. If you go to Mark, it, you don't have to turn there. It says the gospel according to Mark. If you go to Luke, it says the gospel according to Luke. You go to John, same thing, gospel according to John. Well, that can't be if the Bible was, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It doesn't make sense because God's the author of it. One thing about this, these headings, which we're going to go over at another time, the headings were added by people. Just like last week we went over the actual title on the outside, Holy Bible. You can't find the word Bible in the Bible. It's not in there. It's man's contribution to labeling it. The Bible didn't come with a label. So man labeled it. Well, the Bible didn't come with book headings. Man added those. But man, a lot of times, thinks, well, that was Mark's take on what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there. This is what he observed, and he wrote it down. And Luke, same thing. He looked at it. Yeah, this is what I think happened. This is what I remember. It's not that. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. It says, as we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. How did we get the Bible? How did it come about? This scripture right here gives a lot of information about it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Very familiar to most of you here. And I'm just going to read it. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, as it says in King James. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Matthew was a man, right? Mark was a man. Luke was a man. The gospel according to Luke can't be according to Luke. It has to be according to God. Luke was a writer, but not the author. God's the author of his word. And this is how it came about. We're just going to read it again. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word prophecy often, I think most people, I was one of them, but prophecy means foretelling. You know, you're going to prophesy, and that means there's something I'm saying that's going to happen in the future. And hopefully it comes to pass. And then I start charging money for these prophecies. Prophecy, that's what it is in part, a foretelling of something. But prophecy is also a forthtelling. It's literally means a speaking forth. That's what prophecy means, a speaking forth. And it could pertain to the past, it could pertain to the present, it could pertain to the future. And that's all it is. It's a foretelling. So knowing this first, that no prophecy or speaking forth of the scripture. Last week we went over the Greek word for scriptures, graphe. That's the same word here, a writing. That's what graphe means, a writing. Is of any private interpretation. So if Luke wrote the gospel, it had to be by information that God gave him. It was of no private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Back a few books. 1 Thessalonians. These scriptures didn't come by the will of man. They came by, we got them. It says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by their own intuition. No.
Yeah.
In verse of chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They could have said that's just Paul teaching, or that's just what he's thinking about the Old Testament scriptures. They could have thought that, but they received it as the word of God, not as the word of man. The Bible came from men who wrote according to how God spoke to them, what to write. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. The Bible is according to God. God is the author. Men literally wrote it down, but God's the author of it. Galatians chapter 1 gives us more insight on how we got the Bible. Chapter 1 and verse 11 says, I certify you, or I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or not according to man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man didn't teach Paul what he wrote by revelation. He didn't get it from a man. He got it from by revelation. By the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's the originator of information. He's the one that gives it. How he gives it is up to him. In this case, he gave it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave it to Paul. Pretty cool. Let's go to the book of Revelation, way in the back. The book of Revelation. How God chooses to bring this information to an individual is God's choosing. But the final origination is God Almighty. It doesn't come from the man's mind or a woman's mind. So the beginning of Revelation here, look at the title on this one. The Revelation of St. John the Divine. Of course, it's a heading, but this heading was added by men. God did, that's not part of the original Bible, the original scriptures. It's just man's take on what the book of Revelation is, the revelation of St. John the Divine. And we see very quickly the difference if we read verse 1 of chapter 1, a little contradiction here. If the heading was of God, they wouldn't contradict. The revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Both start with the letter J. But that's as far as it goes. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The heading says the revelation of St. John. One of them's wrong. But the revelation of St. John, and as I said, we're going to go over these things later. What's been added to the Bible by people? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to Jesus Christ by God, and it was brought to John by way of an angel. The angel sent it and signified it. That's how the book of Revelation came about. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. God is the one who has authored his word, and the way he got it on earth, instead of dropping this big book off of some cloud, he worked with men, worked with people, and by way of information, revealing information to them, and then they wrote it down. And it says that holy men of God spake. Holy men are men who God has made holy. Holy men are men who believe in God. God, when he chose people to write for him, he didn't pick some nincompoop. He didn't pick some jerk that could care less about God or knows nothing about God. He didn't pick somebody out of the dregs of life and say, I want you to write for me. He didn't force their hands to write. He worked with men who loved him, who believed in him. Very easy to do that, right? So, he wasn't stupid. Luke chapter 1. As we saw earlier, the gospel according to St. Luke can't be. It's the gospel according to God, if you're going to put any title up there. Chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And that's how the book of Luke was written. Four words in verse 3 where it says, from the very first, is a Greek word, anathen. And it means, and it's translated other places, from above. He got this information from above, referring to God. It's a figure of speech. It's information from God revealed to him, and then he wrote it down. Interesting. Now, the first two verses where it talks about these other people, what they wrote, it doesn't say whether they, to understand it, you got to go to other scriptures that deal with the same thing. Whether they just simply wrote their own account, and Luke said, here's something from God Almighty, or these other men wrote according to God, doesn't say in the verse. It could be figured out other ways, which we'll show later on maybe. But it seemed good to me also, verse 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, or from above, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, in the middle of your Old Testament. 2 Samuel. We always have to keep in mind the scripture in 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It didn't come by the will of man. Luke didn't say, I'm going to give you my take. We got a lot of other people who have written. I'm going to give you my take too. I was there from the beginning, and I got it very, if you read some of the translations, it's indicating that he's got it all in order, he's figured it all out, now he's ready to write. That's not how it happened. It didn't come by the will of man. It came by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, this is referring to David. It says, Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Certainly fits with holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. David wrote a lot of the Psalms that we have. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 36. This record in Jeremiah is a great illustration of just how God did things. Jeremiah chapter 36. The Bible isn't like all these other books that I showed where man thinks, figures things out, and then writes. And then it would be from man. Nothing wrong with that. the book publishers like that. But when it comes to God's word, it didn't come that way. It didn't come by man. And here's a great illustration of how God worked. This is a record concerning Jeremiah and his assistant Baruch, and how the word of God for some of this section here got written. Chapter 36, verse 1 says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And all also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. And that's how that was written. Pretty simple. I mean, we have secretaries, or some people have secretaries, and do diction, you know. Cannot God do the same thing? God can speak to Jeremiah. Jeremiah can speak to Baruch. Baruch writes. We even use phones and computers now. We speak into the computer, and it writes it out for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not that hard-fetched to think that God couldn't do that. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Baruch wrote accurately, and that became the written word of God. That's how it came. That's how it came about. It isn't the gospel according to Luke. You know, a lot of people have written things, and you know, we believe those, and I thought, I've been there, I got an accurate thing, I'm going to write my take on it. So here it is. But a lot of people think that. But it's not true. It came by revelation. And how God did that, like in this instance, God specifically spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke to Baruch. Baruch wrote it down. In the book of Revelation, God gave it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave it to John by way of an angel. Here's your letter. It's God's choosing how it gets written. And then who he chose were guys that just hated him. No. God's guys that were holy, people who loved him, who walked with him, who were faithful. Now, the Bible has approximately, it's somewhat assumed that there are 40 writers. Some of the books don't have a writer identified, so there it's somewhat guesswork, but there's approximately 40 writers. There's 66 books written over approximately 15 centuries or so. And so you have all these different writers, different time periods, different cultures, and not one contradiction. How about that? I think if you listen to one person talk long enough, you can find they contradict themselves. How about all these different writers? The reason why there could be no contradiction is because God is the author. The reason why there are differences of how it's written is because God worked with the individual that he was working with. Vocabulary, like even with manifestations. You're not going to, in speaking in tongues with the interpretation, you're not going to speak an English word that you've never heard or understand. God will work with you with the words you have, the words you understand. It's just the way God works. He's not going to force a word out of your mouth. You have no idea what it means when we're dealing with the language we're speaking. So same thing with the written word of God. God worked with the vocabularies of those people who were writing, which explains the differences of styles of writing, the choice of words. Ultimately, it's God's words, but he worked with the individual he was working with. Just the way it worked. So it's pretty cool. So that's how we got the Bible. Not out of a cloud. That would be pretty wild. Just walking along and all of a sudden a Bible hits you on the head. Ooh. But it worked by God working in these individuals. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It didn't come by the will of man. It came by God Almighty. God is the author. So that is something that a lot of people just don't understand. When we come to that understanding, boy, vistas of understanding come up with looking at God's word and recognizing that who's the author. Because a lot of times people that don't understand that will accept the what's called apparent contradictions. Well, they say, well, it's contradicting itself because this writer didn't understand about God like that other writer did. And therefore, of course, there's going to be a contradiction. But if you recognize that God's the author, it's perfect, there are no contradictions, you work it from a different way and start putting it together. You're not willing to just give up. Well, it's just different people. So next week, what we're going to do is look at why are there so many varying opinions about what the Bible says? How come you have 50 people in a room and you could have 51 different opinions? Because sometimes people have more than one opinion. You could have 101. Why are there so many varying opinions if there's only one word of God? So we're going to take a look at to why that is. So,